Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and Tehillim Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Ein Tes, the ninth parak Eloh HaNisrafim. The Zichud Masechet Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichud Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, the one who intended to kill an animal or idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, he's pater. If he intended to strike the victim where he would not be killed, but struck his heart where the blow could kill him, or intended to strike him where the blow could kill him, but mistakenly struck him where the blow was not able to kill him, but he died anyway, he's also pater. Rabbi Shimon says, "Afil niskaven har gezeh pater." Even if he intended to kill this person, but killed that person, he's pater. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama implies in the first case that one is only pater if he intended to kill a non-Jew and killed a Jew, but if he intended to kill one Jew but killed another, he's chayiv. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and the Gemara adds that even if he intended to kill either of two people, or intended to kill someone who turned out to be a different person, Rabbi Shimon says he's pater, ad sheyomer l'poni ani miskaven, unless he says, I intend to kill Poni, the person he killed. Point number two, Rabbi Shimon's source is the pasuk va'arav lo v'kama alav. He ambushes and rises against him, teaching, ad sheyiskaven lo, the killer is not executed unless he intends to kill him. The Rabban Darshan prat l'zorek evan l'goat to exclude from execution one who throws a stone into a group consisting of Jews and non-Jews, and he kills a Jew. Since it was likely he would kill a non-Jew, he's not executed. The Gemara asks that if most of the people are non-Jews, it's obvious he's pater, and even if half are non-Jews, it's obvious since Safek Nefashel Zahakel, a case of doubt concerning capital punishment, is ruled leniently, and the killer can say he intended to kill a non-Jew. The Gemara concludes that the group consisted of 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew. The pasuk teaches that although the majority are Jews, since the non-Jew was kavua, fixed in place, the killer is not executed because kol kavua kamex al mexidami. Any suffix involving something fixed in place is considered like a suffix of 50-50. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Rotzeach shinis arba acherim. If a murder became mixed with others, they are all pater. Rabbi Yehuda says, Konsin osan l'kipa. They are gathered into a chamber and are indirectly killed, as described in Daf Pe'ala. If people sentenced to different methods of executions became mixed, nidon bekala, they are judged with the most lenient method. The Gemara asks who the others are that a murder was confused with in the first case. If they are innocent, it's obvious they're all pater, and Rav Yehuda would not rule to kill them through the kippah method. Shmuel explained that one murderer, Shmuel Nigmar Dinmo, whose verdict was not issued, became mixed with convicted murderers. The Rabban hold that Engomrin Dino Shal Adam El Befanov, we can only issue a verdict in his presence, and since he cannot be identified, he cannot be convicted, so everyone is exempt. Rabbi Yehuda holds they cannot all be exempt since they are all murderers, so they're killed through the kippah method. Rish Lakish says they argue about a shor whose verdict for killing people was not issued and was mixed with oxen which were already sentenced to death. Rava says a third explanation on the next daf. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next mission states that one who intended to kill an animal or idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, he's pater. If he intended to strike the victim where he would not be killed, but struck his heart where the blow could kill him, or intended to strike him where the blow could kill him, but mistakenly struck him where the blow was not able to kill him, but he died anyway, he's also pater. Rabbi Shimon says, "Afil niskaven har gezeh pater." Even if he intended to kill this person, but killed that person, he's pater. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama implies in the first case that one is only pater if he intended to kill a non-Jew and killed a Jew, but if he intended to kill one Jew but killed another, he's chayiv. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and the Gemara adds that even if he intended to kill either of two people, or intended to kill someone who turned out to be a different person, Rabbi Shimon says he's pater, ad sheyomer l'poni ani miskaven, unless he says, I intend to kill Poni, the person he killed. Point number two, Rabbi Shimon's source is the pasuk va'arav lo v'kama alav. He ambushes and rises against him, teaching, ad sheyiskaven lo, the killer is not executed unless he intends to kill him. The Rabban Darshan prat l'zorek evan l'goat to exclude from execution one who throws a stone into a group consisting of Jews and non-Jews, and he kills a Jew. Since it was likely he would kill a non-Jew, he's not executed. The Gemara asks that if most of the people are non-Jews, it's obvious he's pater, and even if half are non-Jews, it's obvious since Safek Nefashel Zahakel, a case of doubt concerning capital punishment, is ruled leniently, and the killer can say he intended to kill a non-Jew. The Gemara concludes that the group consisted of 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew. The pasuk teaches that although the majority are Jews, since the non-Jew was kavua, fixed in place, the killer is not executed because kol kavua kamex al mexidami. Any suffix involving something fixed in place is considered like a suffix of 50-50. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Rotzeach Shinis Arba Acherim, if a murder became mixed with others, they are all pater. Rav Yehuda says, Konsin Osan L'Kippah, they are gathered into a chamber and are indirectly killed, as described in Daf Pe'alav. If people sentenced to different methods of executions became mixed, Nidon Bekala, they are judged with the most lenient method. The Gemara asks who the others are that a murder was confused with in the first case. If they are innocent, it's obvious they're all pater, and Rav Yehuda would not rule to kill them through the Kippah method. Shmuel explained that one murderer, Shmuel Nigmar Dinmo, whose verdict was not issued, became mixed with convicted murders. The Rabban hold in Gomrin Dino Shal Adam El Befanov, we can only issue a verdict in his presence, and since he cannot be identified, he cannot be convicted, so everyone is exempt. Rabbi Yehuda holds they cannot all be exempt since they are all murderers, so they are killed through the Kippah method. Rish Lakish says they argue about a shor whose verdict for killing people was not issued and was mixed with oxen which were already sentenced to death. Rava says a third explanation on the next daf. All right, so now we go to our siman daf ayin tes, and our standard siman is an 8, a pen, or a quill, and we often use a sofer in the siman to make the siman more distinct. So here goes. The angry sofer who was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was patur again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, saw his friend get away with murder when he got mixed with other murderers before his gemar din. So once again, it's a motion. The angry sofer was patur when he threw his quill. Sofer? Quill? That must be on daf. Ein tes. 8. Quill. Pen. Sofer. The angry sofer was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one who intended to kill an animal or idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, he's patur. If he intended to strike the victim where he would not be killed, but struck his heart, where the blow could kill him, or intended to strike him where the blow could kill him, but mistakenly struck him where the blow was not able to kill him, but he died anyway, he's also butter. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he intended to kill this person, but killed that person, he's butter. So the angry sofer was putter when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was putter again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, which reminds us, we learned that if one threw a stone into a group consisting of 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, and a Jew is killed, the person is putter. The Pasuk teaches that although the majority are Jews, since the non-Jew was kavua, fixed in place, the killer is not executed because kol kavua kamechsa maksadami. Any suffix involving something fixed in place is considered like a suffix of 50-50. So the angry sofer was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was patur again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, saw his friend get away with murder when he got mixed with other murderers before his gemara din, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rotzeach shinis arev ba'acherim, if a murder became mixed with others, they're all exempt. Rav Yehuda says, konsin osan l'kippah, they're gathered into a chamber and are indirectly killed, as described in Daf Pei Aleph. Shmuel explained that one murderer, whose verdict was not issued, became mixed with convicted murderers. The Rabban hold, en gomrin dino shel adam el befanav, we can only issue a verdict in his presence, and since he cannot be identified, he cannot be convicted, and everyone is pater. Rav Yehuda holds, they cannot all be exempt, since they're all murderers. So they're all killed through the Kippah method. So once again, the angry sofer who was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was patur again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed another yid, saw his friend get away with murder when he got mixed with other murderers before his gemar din. All right, so now it's time for our 4 blabach chazar, daf ein hay. So the simmer daf ein hay is an Am Haaretz. So here goes. The broken-hearted Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz, that must be one daf. Ein hey, the broken-hearted Am Haaretz in the Sreifa room, dying next to a berry with no one on the other side, which reminds us, Rav related, that a certain man became obsessed with a woman until he became dangerously ill. Doctors said he had no cure but to have relations with her, but the sages ruled he should die rather than have relations with her. The doctor suggested she stand before him unclothed, but the sages again ruled it's better that he should die. Finally, the doctor suggested she merely speak with him from behind a berry, but they ruled he should die rather than let her speak with him from behind a barrier. So the broken-hearted Am Haaretz in the Sreifa room, dying next to a barrier with no one on the other side, called out to an Isha Bita for help, not knowing who exactly he was referring to, which reminds us, the ninth parak begins, Ve'elohena Nisrafim, these are the ones who are burned. A Baal Isha Bita, one who has relations with a mother and her daughter, Ubas Kohen Shazinta, and a Kohen's daughter who commits adultery. Included in Isha Bita, which is written explicitly, are one's daughter, his granddaughter from either his son or daughter, his wife's daughter or granddaughter from her son or daughter, his mother-in-law, and the mother of his mother-in-law or father-in-law. So the brokenhearted Amma Arts in the Serefa room, dying next to a barrier with no one on the other side, called out to an Ishwabita for help, not knowing who exactly he was referring to, and was surprised when his wife's grandmother appeared despite being Lamata Be'isr, which reminds us we learned that a grandmother-in-law who is less related than a mother-in-law incurs Serefa like she does. Daf Ayin Vav. So the symbol Daf Ayin Vav is IV, intravenous. So here goes. The nurse who didn't administer IV, IV, that must mirror on Daf Ayin Vav, IV, intravenous. The nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer, he wouldn't want her to. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks for the source to apply Sreifa to relations with Bito Ma'anusaso, his daughter from a woman he violated, meaning not from his wife. Abai says it's a Kal Vachomer. Abbas Bito Anush, for his daughter's daughter he's punished with Sreifa. Abito Kol Shekain, is it not certainly so for his daughter herself? The Gemara objects, Viki Onshimina Din, do we punish based on a Kal Vachomer? It answers Gili Milsa Ba'amahu. It's merely revealing a law already included in a known law, not deriving a new one. Since his daughter's daughter is only related to him through his daughter's prohibition is implicit in his granddaughter's prohibition. Rava disagrees and derives this law from a Gezer Shavav, Heina Heina Zima Zima, teaching that just as his wife's daughter has the same prohibition and Sreifa as her granddaughter, his own daughter's laws also match his granddaughter's. So the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer, he wouldn't want her to, skip the next patient, an idolater, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, which reminds us, Rav said, Hamasias Bito Azakin, one who marries his young daughter to an old man, or marries off his minor son, or returns a lost object to an idolater. The Pasuk says about him, so that the quenched be attached to the thirsty, Hashem will not be willing to forgive him. Rashi explains that he's pairing someone with little desire for relations, an old man or minor, with a wife who's thirsty for them, leading her to sin. Similarly, one who returns a lost object to an idolater equates the quenched, meaning the idolaters, with the thirsty, meaning Jews who thirst to fulfill Hashem's will, and indicates that his returning of lost items is not because of the commandment. So the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer, he wouldn't want her to, skip the next patient, an idolater, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, and was glad to see that the metzamsim of the drowning victim was getting the proper punishment, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the liability for murder of metzamsim, of preventing escape, and its law for damages. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is an aze, a goat. So here goes. The band of evil Azuzmen who are putter when they use goatskin ropes, goat, that must be run on Daf Ein Zayin, aze, goat. The band of evil Azuzmen who are putter when they use goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses numerous cases of murder through mitzamsim, confinement. Rava says if one bound someone in the sun or cold, which was strong enough to kill over time, he's liable for the death since the lethal element was there, similar to holding someone underwater. However, if the sun or cold was not initially there but came later, he's exempt. So the band of evil Azuzmen who are putter when they use goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, and were also putter when they removed a ladder from the man stuck in a pit. Which reminds us, Ravi says that if one pushed someone into a pit which had a ladder, but someone came and removed the ladder, or the first person himself removed the ladder, trapping the victim, he's not chayav for his death because at the time he pushed him in, he could have escaped. Thus, the original pushing was not lethal, and removing the ladder is a grama, an indirect cause of death. So the band of evil Azuzmen who are putter when they use goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, and were also putter when they removed a ladder from the man stuck in a pit, were finally chayav when they used their goats to divert water onto a victim tied up by the shore, which reminds us, Rapapa says that if one bound someone near a body of water and caused a burst of water to wash over him by removing the barrier, withholding the water, killing him, it's considered his arrow, meaning direct action, since he released the water's force and he's chayav from the murder. However, this is only bekoach rishon, with the primary force which fell on the victim the moment he removed the barrier of a bekoach sheni, but the secondary force, which Rashi explains to mean where the victim was at a distance from the water, which flowed until reaching him afterwards, grama ba'amahu, it's merely an indirect cause of his death, and he's exempt. Daf Ein Ches. So the simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The kids visiting a basin who went, ugh, kids going, ugh, that must be on Daf Ein Ches. The kids visiting a basin who went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Yiku Asar B'nei Adam Basar Makos Umeis. If 10 people struck someone with 10 sticks and he died, whether they struck him simultaneously or one after the other, they're patur from execution. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says that if they struck him one after the other, the last one is chai because he hastened his death, but are exempt if they struck him simultaneously because only a single murderer can be liable. So the kids visiting a basin went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man. And when ugh again, when an x-ray proved that another murderer was a treifa and couldn't be convicted, which reminds us, Rabbi said that one who murders a treifa is patur because he's already considered dead. If a treifa committed murder in front of Beis Din and no testimony is necessary, he's killed because the pasuk says, ubiyarta rami kerbecha, and you shall destroy the evil from your midst. If the murder was not in front of Beis Din, he's patur because any eidus against him is eidus shiatayachu hazima, eidus which cannot be discredited through hazama with this accompanying punishment. Since such witnesses only attempted to kill a treifa and are not executed if they're found zomim, their testimony is invalid. So the kids visiting a basin went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man. And when, ugh, again, when an x-ray proved that another murderer was a treifa and couldn't be convicted, saw a victim who was reassessed to survive an attack walk into the room and drop dead in front of them and wondered if his attacker would be convicted for murder, which reminds us. The next mission states that if one struck someone, Bamduhu Amisa, and they assessed that he would die, but he improved and was reassessed to survive, but later it deteriorated and died, the attacker is executed. However, Rabbi Nechemia says he's pater shuraglaim wadavar, because there's an indication in the matter that the victim did not die from the attack. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you discuss marrying off one's minor son or returning an aveda to an idolater? That's on daf Ein Vav. Good. Number two, which of the one how one who violates an erva, such as a brother violating a sister, can be liable for kanas if he could have been killed? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn that one who intended to kill an animal or idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, is patur? That's on daf Ein Tes. Good. Number four, which daf do you discuss all the cases under the category of Ishu Bita? That's on daf Ein Hey. Good. Number five, which of the one, if a treifa murdered someone, he's patur from Misa since it's Eidus Shiatayachu Hazima? That's on daf Ein Ches. Good. Number six, which daf do you discuss the case of a murderer who had not had his Gemar Din, became mixed with other convicted murderers? That's on daf Ein Tes. Good. Number seven, which daf do you learn that B'shas Gzeres HaMalchus, one must give up his life even for a mitzvah kala, such as changing one's shoelaces? That's on daf Ein Dal. Good. Number eight, which daf do you discuss murdering someone through mitzamsim, confinement, such as the case of tying someone who will eventually die by the heat of the sun? That's on daf Ein Zayin. Good. Number nine, which daf do you discuss what the din is in a case of a murder victim who is reassessed to survive and then he dies? That's on daf Ein Ches. Good. Number 10, which daf do the case of men who was obsessed with a woman, where the rabbis ruled that it's better that he should die than even speak to her from behind machitza? That's on daf Ein Hey. Excellent. That was today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.